Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
A young man who grabbed a watch in the open market and stuffed it in his jeans without paying for it was arrested and taken before a judge and charged with theft. "How do you plead?" asked the judge. "Innocent," replied the young man. But because of some confusion resulting from the statement of a witness, the lad was again brought before the judge, who told him he had been acquitted of the charge. Not understanding what the word meant, the youth asked, "Judge, does that mean I have to give the watch back?" Words and what they mean can result in great confusion. Take, for example, the English word repentance, which comes from a Latin word, penitentia. Obviously, the word penitence comes from the same source. This also gave us the word penitentiary. And with the passing of time, we have come to associate regret or sorrow that something happened with this word. Saying "I'm sorry" has become the equivalent of biblical repentance, at least in our thinking. But the Latin word, which is the basis of our understanding, is not an overlay of the Greek word, the one found in the New Testament, which we also translate repentance or to repent. The word which Jesus and the disciples used meant a complete change of mind, emotionally as well as spiritually. It reflected not a sorrow that something came to light, or even a sorrow that you did something, but the depth of emotions which also served as a wall strong enough to ensure that in all probability you would never go back and repeat the mistake. Here's what some of the church fathers have said about the process. St. Ambrose said, "Repentance is to cease from sin." St. Anselm observed, "God has promised to pardon him who repents, but he has not promised repentance to him who sins." Augustine touched upon the motive of the misdeed, saying, "Before God can deliver us, we must undeceive ourselves." Nearly a millennium later, Martin Luther, the monk-turned-reformer, said, "To do it no more is the truest repentance." Perhaps the most striking, though, and understanding observation about the whole issue was made by C.S. Lewis, the Cambridge University professor who said that repentance is not something God demands of you before he will take you back. It simply is a description of what going back is like. And this seems to bring into focus the whole reason that we fail to understand the issue. God has been left out of the equation, as though that wrongdoing is strictly a personal, private matter devoid of any spiritual significance. Paul wrote, "It is the goodness or the kindness of God which brings you to repentance." When you're embarrassed over something you've done, you may do penance. You may even make restitution. But when you are overwhelmed at the moral failure or have a deep, heartfelt sorrow because of what you did, you can thank God because the Holy Spirit enlightened you to the extent that you understood, at least in a measure, the consequences and enormity of your wrongdoing. Saying "I'm sorry" may help assuage the embarrassment. But being sorrowful to the point you determine never to go back, even if you could get away with it, is genuine repentance. Interested in knowing what repentance really means? Then make a study of Psalm 51 from your Old Testament. This describes how David felt following his affair with Bathsheba. Thank God, friend, when you feel genuine conviction, because it is the prelude to the kind of repentance that brings forgiveness and restoration.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Sala with Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living. If you would like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our e-commentary, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. That's info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.